about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
Welcome to the best of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law, with attorney Joe Pippin. If you'd like to talk to someone about your legal questions, you can call Joe's office at 727-586-3306, online at attypip.com. Email joe at attypip.com.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, it's open on Saturday mornings just for you to call in and ask the legal question. Hopefully you'll get some information that'll be helpful to you. And also, there are other people listening, of course. We're on about 12 stations around Florida now, all over the state of Florida, and people are listening that might have similar circumstances, not even realizing they might even have a problem or a situation they could do better with. If you have a legal question, it can be just about any area of the law. Can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be personal injury, next door neighbor problems. Can be on the job problems. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-226-3529. If you have a legal question, be more than glad to try to help you, get you pointed in the right direction. Let's go to our first caller. Let's go to Rick calling from Florida. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Rick, what city are you calling from?
I actually live in Stuart, Florida.
All right. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to Lady Bird deed my primary residence to my son, who's my only heir, and to basically remove the asset from my name and avoid probate when I expire.
Okay.
And my only question is, in doing so, am I able to change that? Or say, if I want to, 5 years from now, roll it back into my name or put it into a trust?
Yeah, I had a conversation with a client exactly along these lines yesterday, and here's what I told the client. Yes, you can do a ladybird deed. Yes, you can name your son as the beneficiary of your property on the deed. Yes, you can change the deed at any time. You could cancel that deed or change that deed and name someone else, or you could do whatever you want to do. You could sell the property before you die. You can do whatever you want to do with the Lady Bird deed, and the Lady Bird deed does avoid probate. Is there perhaps a alternative and a better way to do this? And my answer is yes. I would not do a Lady Bird deed. I would do a living trust, put the property into a living trust. You can always amend or change the trust. The trust has a beneficiary. The better part to me is that if I have a stroke or become incapacitated, that the successor trustee that I choose can now come in, take over, and manage that property and do whatever is needed to be done with it while I'm living. A ladybird deed, nothing really happens until you die.
Question.
Yes.
As far as, say, when I get older and I want to qualify for government benefits, if I put it in a living trust, does that actually, is that considered an asset in my name?
The homestead in Florida is a non-countable asset. So the homestead does not count as an asset at all, and it's protected from creditors. So the homestead has really no impact on qualifying for Medicaid. If all you had was a homestead, you would qualify for Medicaid. The house could still be left to your son, free from the claims
right.
of the nursing home or medical
bills. What about a second home, like if I had an investment property?
A second home can also be treated as exempt if it's a rental home, or perhaps it's in another state and you put the home up for sale. There's a way that we can orchestrate around also protecting the second home in Medicaid planning. I have a full-time Medicaid attorney on staff. That's all he does is Medicaid. He probably works 50, 60 hours a week helping people reposition assets, qualify for Medicaid. We can usually qualify a person for Medicaid in maybe 60 days, and protect, move assets around. The power of attorneys that we do authorize the movement into non-countable exempt categories. And also, he and I have written a little book on asset protection in Medicaid. If anyone wants that, it's $20, and they can send in for it, and I'll give out my contact information several times during the show.
Great. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Okay. This whole idea came about because of divorce in my life. And the simplest way to quiet claim the properties into my name was my doing the Ladybird deed on both the primary homesteaded property and the income property.
So your wife signed a deed to you?
Correct.
But it's a Ladybird deed? Going
to. Right. Yeah, correct. I want to have her sign a Ladybird deed into, you know, to quiet claim into Lady Bird.
Well, no, it would just be a quick, yeah, it would just be a quit claim deed from her to you, though.
Correct.
Wouldn't a Ladybird deed doesn't really come into that transfer during a divorce, usually.
Well, it would be, I would probably quit claim it and then Ladybird it.
Or consider putting it in a trust. I would suggest you at least consider right. that and have a conversation with an attorney about that.
There you go. Thank you, Joe, for your time.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Winifred in Bradenton.
Hello?
Yes. What can we do for you?
Yes. I have a will, which I made probably 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter are both executors on the will. Mm-hmm. But my daughter, my oldest daughter, died in December. And so I know she would, I'm leaving my estate to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering, what is the simplest way to make her son, since he's like a son to me, make her husband part of my will? Would I just, what is the simplest way to do that?
Well, just do a new, either do a codicil to the will or a new will. We charge the same thing for a codicil or a new will, which is like $125.
Okay.
So we just do a new document that names whoever you want to be as your beneficiary. If you want to name your deceased daughter's, I'm very sorry about your daughter, but if you want to name your deceased daughter's husband as a beneficiary, then you just have to either change the existing document or do a new document.
Okay.
During the if you came to me, for example, during that conversation, you know, I'd be glad to do a new will for you, but I'd also want to discuss with you the advantages you might have in considering a living trust to avoid probate. If you didn't,
I don't know whether I would have to.
Well, it was just.
Isn't there a dollar amount that you have to reach to go to probate, or
no? Not really, because any size estate goes through probate, and the minimum probate fee is like $2,500 that we charge, and there's about a $600 or $700 out of pocket cost. So you know you're into over $3,000 to do a probate, even on a very small estate. And you can avoid that with a trust, and we have a package fee, flat fee for a trust package is like $695, and that includes the trust, the deed, the power of attorney, the living will, healthcare surrogate living will. You get a whole new package of all the documents you need for the flat fee.
For the flat fee of what, $695?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a better way to go.
Well, that's what most of my clients do. Maybe not everybody, but that's what most of my clients do, too. It's just a fancy will that avoids probate.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds very good. Do you have offices here in Bradenton?
I have offices in Sun City Center, which most of my Bradenton clients come there. We have office also in Lakewood Ranch, but I don't go to that office, but I do have another very experienced attorney that goes to that office.
Okay, and their fees are the same?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a poster sheet that, since you're asking about this, I'd be glad to, when we finish, I'll give out the address of where anybody interested can get our estate planning poster sheet, so it goes through all the options and explains trust in a little more detail with diagrams and so forth.
Okay, that would be great.
All right. All right, I'll give that out as soon as we finish. Do you have any other questions?
No, I don't think I have any other questions.
All right.
For your information.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm, bye now.
If anyone would like this estate planning poster sheet, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request. I need your name and address. You can email me Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Text 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Charlie calling. Yes, Charlie, what can I do for you?
My question is, I have a living will with my three kids.
You have a living trust?
A living will. A living trust, I'm sorry, yeah. Not a living trust, no. What do you call them?
The last will and testament?
The last will and testament, right.
Okay.
With the percentage or the separation of the property. Now, somebody advised me to register the property on with the life estate in the same way to the county.
Yeah, you can do a ladybird deed or a life estate deed. You can do that.
So this way they don't have to go to probate. Am I right?
Yes, you can do it that way. I usually, when I'm discussing this with clients, we can discuss that if they have a question about it. I do think a living trust is a better way to plan. Because with a living trust, you can the successor trustee can deal with the property better while you're living. Whereas a life estate deed, nothing really happens until you pass away on the transfer, but things might need to be done while you're living for your benefit.
I see. But I mean, for a home state, it doesn't change if I do that, right?
No. Either way, there's no change in the homestead status.
Okay. Let me ask you, on this number that I called you, during the week, you'll be able to pick up my phone call, or you have another number I could call you private?
No, the office number is, you're in, what county are you in?
I'm in Citrus County.
Okay. All right, so let me give you the 800 number, 1-800.
Wait, hold on a minute. I'm on the car. 800. Go ahead.
226.
226.
3529.
3529. Okie dokie.
Yeah, and I have an office up that way that we can use in Citrus County. So,
what is your office here?
I'll give it to you when we talk.
Good enough. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Carrie in Bradenton.
Yeah, 20 years ago, my dad did a trust, a revocable trust in Arizona. And since that time, the attorney has retired, and we've liquidated all assets in Arizona and live in Florida. And my dad hasn't changed the trust yet. And do you foresee any problems if he doesn't do that?
Did he buy a house in Florida?
Yes, we have property in Florida. Liquidated everything in Arizona.
Did he buy the house into the name of the trust in Florida?
Yes.
Well, one state will accept another state's laws. The difference in Colorado and Florida is Colorado is a community property state, and Florida is a common law state. And the trust probably says it's governed by the laws of the state of Colorado.
Arizona.
Okay. So it would be better to have just a simple amendment done to the trust to say it's governed by the laws of Florida. That's going to make your job a lot easier when the time comes.
I see.
And it doesn't, you know, we charge like $125 to do an amendment. It doesn't cost very much to change a trust with an amendment.
Okay.
And also, I'm not sure about the will. There are differences in wills, how you prepare wills in different states. And your dad should definitely give you a durable power of attorney. So there's some things, and they're very hard for people to accept those in Florida when they're done in another state. And they should be updated every 3 or 4 years. So
yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell him. My mom was the primary on that trust, and she's passed away. So I was the secondary. It's just me and him.
Well, Jerry, all I can tell you is that we don't charge anything to bring him in to review, to have a discussion. There's like no cost there. And we could tell him these things face to face. And I'm sure he'd probably, if you can get him to the office, I'm sure he'd probably do them.
Okay.
All right. If you have a legal question, phone lines are open at 800-226-3529. And by the way, our office does not charge anything for the normal first visit to review estate planning documents or answer estate planning questions or discuss what maybe you should do in your estate. There's never a charge for that first meeting. If you'd like to contact us and have a little help, you can just call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. 3529. And we have 20 office locations around Florida, so that would be true in any of those offices with whatever attorney you would meet with concerning estate planning. 1-800-226-3529. 3529. If you have a group that you would like to have a speaker come in, could be a church group, could be a community group, could be in a homeowners association type of situation. It could be coffee talk at a mobile home park. It could be, I even spoken on a Weight Watchers, even though I wasn't really involved with a weight watching program. They have speakers come in, and they asked me to come in and talk about, they'd heard enough speakers about health and what you should eat. So they had taking care of yourself and taking proper care of your estate was the topic. But if you have a speaker, there's no charge for the coming in. It's pretty much like an Ask an Attorney radio program. I do talk for 20 minutes or so, or longer if requested, or shorter if requested, and then usually have a question and answer period just like the show. If you'd like to arrange that, all you have to do is to call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com, or you can text me that you would like to talk to me about coming to your group at 727-667-3967. Now, in a couple of weeks, October the 12th and October the 14th, that's a Thursday night at 6 o'clock and a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I'll be at the St. John's Town Center doing a seminar, and you're invited. It's open to the public. Would love for you to come. If you'd like more information about this, you can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, or you can email me that you would like to come and to send you information. That would be joe@attypip.com, or you can text me at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Sue in Tampa.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Sue.
I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a revocable trust, and I also have an LLC, and I was wondering if I should place the LLC in the trust. Is it possible or no?
Yes, you do. What you do is to transfer the membership certificate of the LLC to the trust, mm-hmm. just to keep the LLC from going through probate when you pass away.
Okay. I can do it like now while I'm still operating it?
Yeah. While you're still what? Yeah, you have a trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have an LLC. So you can transfer the membership certificate that you have showing your ownership of the LLC to the trust.
Okay. And then another question. So if something happens, like somebody going to sue me for a some problem happened with the rental or something.
Mm-hmm. They can only sue the LLC because you have a different entity. So they can only sue the LLC.
Even though it's in the trust?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You have another layer of protection by having the LLC.
Okay, great. So that's good. I have one more question. I don't know if we have time.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's for my friend, though. One of our tenants has filed a bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
and he pays a lot of money for his staying there, like $4,200 a month is his rent,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote a letter through a court asking my friend if she will continue with him on the lease, and that will protect him from the other creditors and his estate if she is willing to let him stay at her place. But she's thinking maybe he needs to go to a place that's cheaper for him so he can pay his debt to other people. So she's to respond in about 14 days. This letter to the court why she should not allow him to stay or allow him. Her question was, can she willingly break the lease for him so he could go to another place, even though she gets paid a lot of money?
She's the landlord?
She's the landlord.
Well, upon agreement, she can terminate the lease with him. He doesn't want to break it.
No, he wants to stay in that big house.
No, she can't terminate it one-sided, no.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can't unilaterally just terminate it for that reason. There might be some other reasons it could be terminated, but not for that.
But the court, Sue, I've
got to move on here. I've got other questions. So hope I helped your friend, though.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to John in Riverview.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question about the will, but I really think I need to come in and sit down for a consultation.
Well, I'd be glad to do that. Probably the closest office we have for you would probably be Sun City Center.
Can you get me that number?
All right, we'll just call the toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529.
Wait a minute. My pen ain't writing. 226.
Yeah, 1-800, okay. 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200.
Extension 200?
Yes, sir. Do you have a question, though?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and ask you. It may take a few minutes, but what I got is a brother that died 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived longer than him, and she just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a piece of property with a trailer on it together. So in the will, he owned the property and he owned the trailer. So he left the property to me, including the trailer. But now, before she passed,
mm-hmm.
she went and bought a new trailer, and the new trailer's in her name.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to the old trailer?
The old trailer was junk.
Okay.
It went to the dump, I think.
All right. Must have been a very big dumpster.
Trailer graveyard, I suppose.
All right.
But anyways, now she had four children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting me over the trailer and not wanting it. What happened is they let somebody live there. They had to put an outhead to back up.
Well, the trailer would have been in her name, so it would have been in her estate.
I don't know if she made a will or not, but anyways.
But it doesn't matter. The state makes one for you if you don't make one yourself.
Okay, in the meantime, she had to be put in a nursing home. Her sons and daughters let nephews stay in that trailer, and they got up on the roof and punched holes all over the roof. And the inside of it is trash.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're telling me I've got to move the trailer off of the property.
Who is they?
Her children.
Well, their children don't have any authority over you. So you still own the land. What's the land worth?
The taxes on it's valued at $28,000.
I would write them a certified letter that they have to remove the trailer, that it belongs to them. It was in her name. And if they don't do it fairly soon, you'll treat it as abandoned property and have the county come remove it, and the county probably sell it at auction or something, or have it condemned. But they can't make you do anything. Now, where do they want you to move it?
Because it ain't no good.
No, where? Okay, so they want to abandon it?
Exactly, and I don't know where they. The only place it can go is in the dumpster. That's how bad it is.
Okay. Well, how much would it cost you to move it?
Probably around $5,000, from what I've heard from other people. I haven't got a price yet.
Would a scrap metal person come want it for the value of the metal or anything?
Well, this is I did that once before, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
These trailers today are made out of vinyl, and the only metal left on the trailer now is the frame that it sits on. So I've done talked to three of them, and none of them will go get it for the metal.
I see. All right, John, when you come see me, since you want, you said you wanted to, we can sit down and we can work out a little strategy to get rid of the property.
How about Monday?
All right. I can't do it on the radio here. You're going to have to call the office and just make an appointment.
All right. 800-226-3529.
3529, extension 200.
3529,
extension 200.
529, got it. 800-226-3529. Is there someone there today I can call and set an appointment?
No, they'll be in Monday.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Let's go to Dinky. Is it Dinky?
Dinky.
All right. How'd you get that name?
Jinky.
Jinky.
Dinky.
Dinky, okay. All right. Was that your birth name or is that a nickname?
Nickname.
All right.
I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was trying to find somebody to help me.
All right, what's your question?
My question is there any way I can sue somebody, either a pharmaceutical company?
All right, can you cut your radio off in the background? Ma'am, can you cut your radio off? Because there's like a 3-second, 5-second delay, and I can hear your radio. Repeat us talk.
Yeah, I have. I was sick because of allergy medication, and I lost my job, and I'm still sick until now. I've been going to doctors all the time, eye doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder if there's any way I can, like, help to reimburse my expenses. But I went to two lawyers, but they said I cannot sue the pharmaceutical company because it's only a generic medication.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to do if I... Is there any way I can...
Well, you can call me and I'll give you the name of a malpractice attorney or that, you know, would sue in this case and maybe get a third opinion.
Yeah, I've been to lawyers, but they declined me because they said it's because it's only a generic job, generic...
Medication. I don't think that's a valid reason.
Really?
Yeah, there might be a history of this particular product causing injuries to, you know, a lot of people that have taken it.
Okay.
And I don't think just because it's generic is a defense.
Okay.
So maybe talk to one other attorney, and maybe it might be the value of the case was not worth taking. That might have been the real reason, but, you know, I can get you somebody else to at least talk to.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
So where I'm going to go? Do you give me that?
Call, I give the number out every few minutes on the show, but the office number is 1-800.
Okay.
226.
Okay.
3529.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Dinky. All right, you have a good one.
You too.
All right, let's go to Lori in Sun City Center.
Yes, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Several years ago, I had an attorney put together a living trust, which had a will as part of it.
Yeah, pour-over will, it's called.
I'm sorry?
It's called a pour-over will.
Okay. So it's been so long ago, and I have moved since to Sun City. At the time, my only son's name was on this document. It's not even on my new house, which I know I have to change. I don't know if I can do that myself or I need to go. I probably need to go to you to have everything reviewed and have that changed as well.
I'd be glad to do that. We do have offices in Sun City Center.
I know where they are.
Yeah, usually they're on.
Is it mandatory that I do it quickly, or?
Well, why put it off?
Well, that's true. We always put.
And actually, the review meeting doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
I think my office in Sun City Center is about 5 minutes away from everybody, even though it's a fairly big community. I mean, it's right. It's only one main road going through there, 674, and my office is right in the center of everything, I think, as you probably know, right next to the Chamber of Commerce, right next to the post office.
Right. Okay. So you're saying I should go in with my documents on my initial appointment?
Yeah, I'll be glad to review them for you.
Okay. All right. I guess I will try to do that next week.
Yeah,
thank
just
you.
Call and make an appointment. I'll be there next week on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, on Sun City Center, you're probably listening on either 57910, or you might be listening on 96.3 FM, the local community station there. Let's go to Ellis in Dunedin.
Hi, Mr. Bevin.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, sir. I have five rental properties that were conveyed to me via quitclaim deed when my mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I've executed five quitclaim deeds, notarized, signed. They're sitting in my safety deposit box. And so my question is, when I pass away, my daughter has the key. Will she simply be able to remove those five quitclaim deeds out of the safety deposit box and file them with the county, and the property will be conveyed to my three children as the quitclaim deeds instruct?
All right, well, that's a tricky question, because the quitclaim deed that you signed, which you keep in the safe deposit box, was not delivered. You know, you part of actually making a gift or a transfer is delivery.
Yes.
So since you did it and didn't deliver it, it could be argued it wasn't a gift. Also, there's a date when it was notarized. And if you give away more than $14,000, there's a gift tax required.
Okay.
And also, because your real estate property would get a stepped-up cost basis at time of death.
Right.
And you made a gift years earlier.
Yeah.
That's not good tax planning.
I understand.
So there are a lot of problems with trying to do it that way. The better way to do it would probably be to create a trust.
Okay.
Put the properties in the trust. They would all get a stepped-up cost basis at time of death.
Yes.
There's no gift tax implication.
Understand.
And it's quick and easy for the successor trustee then to either sell or transfer the properties.
Okay. I really, really appreciate the instructions on this.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
Bye.
Let's go to Kathy in Clearwater.
Yes, good morning. You prepared the revocable trust for my husband and myself some time
mm-hmm.
back, about
yes.
a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He has passed away. What should I be doing at this point, if anything? It was a joint trust.
Well, normally you would come in to see me since I did the trust, and we would do a simple amendment to make you the sole grantor, sole trustee.
Okay.
And we might upgrade your power of attorney, do some and tweak some other documents. But basically, it's just tweaking documents. It's not doing a major redo or everything over again.
Okay. And as far as notifying those people in the trust, do I have an obligation to do that? Or
no, not at this point on a joint trust.
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you. I'll call the office then.
All right, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Let's go to Ken in Port Charlotte.
Hello.
Hey, Ken.
Hi. I'm executor personal on a living will, and mother has passed. How do I sign documents? What's the jargon? What's the proper way to
a living trust?
Sign. Yes.
Yeah, you said living will, so living trust.
Wrong. It is living trust. Correct.
All right. So you're the first successor trustee, and your mother has passed away.
Yes.
And what are you worried about, a bank account or real estate, or what exactly
it's
is
real
it?
Estate. It'll
real
be
estate.
Home for her.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, basically, you would take, if I were you, I would take the trust and a copy of the deed if you have it, although an attorney can look it up on the county records pretty quickly. Take a death certificate and a copy of the trust to an attorney. Attorney will prepare a deed for you that will say your mother's name trust, your name trustee. And you, as the successor trustee, have the power to transfer that real estate according to the terms of the trust. So it's basically just an affidavit would have to be filled out, and there will be a new deed from you as trustee to whoever is the new owner is going to be.
Okay. The new owner is the trust leaves it entirely to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister is going to be selling it. So I have to go through the step of putting it in.
Well, you have a choice.
Name?
No, you have a choice. You and your sister have a choice. You can sell it from the trust and give her the proceeds from the sale.
All right.
Or you can have an attorney transfer it to her with a new deed, with you signing this trustee?
I think she's going to sell it quite quickly. So I think it's, I don't know that it's worth going through that.
Yeah, you probably create an extra step. It puts an extra burden and work on you. But if you want to simplify
the paperwork, how do I sign it?
Yeah, as a trustee.
Okay.
It'd be your mom's name trust.
No.
Well,
mother's name. The
mother's name trust, you as trustee, to whoever the new buyer is. But there's a little bit more to it than just a deed, though. I mean, there has to be an affidavit. It's coming out of a trust. That has to be filed with the court. So you're going to are you using a real estate person who might be working with a title company, or are you just trying to sell it yourself directly?
No, it'll be a real estate person, yes.
Well, they'll have a title company. Everything will be handled, you know, just fine, I'm sure.
Oh, good. Okay, title company will do that. All right. And they'll tell me how to sign. All right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good. All right, that's a great answer. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
If you have a group that you would like to have a speaker come in, could be a church group, could be a community group, could be in a homeowners association type of situation, it could be coffee talk at a mobile home park. It could be, I even spoken on the Weight Watchers, even though I wasn't really involved with the weight watching program. They have speakers come in, and they asked me to come in and talk about, they'd heard enough speakers about health and what you should eat. So they had taking care of yourself and taking proper care of your estate was the topic. But if you have a speaker, there's no charge for the coming in. It's pretty much like an Ask an Attorney radio program. I do talk for 20 minutes or so, or longer if requested, or shorter if requested, and then usually have a question and answer period just like the show. If you'd like to arrange that, all you have to do is to call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com, or you can text me that you would like to talk to me about coming to your group at 727-667-3967. Now, in a couple of weeks, October the 12th and October the 14th, that's a Thursday night at 6 o'clock, and a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I'll be at the St. John's Town Center doing a seminar, and you're invited. It's open to the public. Would love for you to come. If you'd like more information about this, you can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, or you can email me that you would like to come and to send you information. That would be Joe at attypip.com. Or you can text me at 727-667-3967.
Let's go to Marty in Jacksonville.
Hey, Joe, this is it must be the Living Trust Saturday this morning.
All right.
Another question. My mother has, she passed away in 2010, had a living trust. She's got a piece of property, just a small piece of property down in Lee County, and she ended up, my brother lives in North Carolina, where she did live, and he was the executor, and he went through and did all the work as an executor for all the things dealing with North Carolina, but this piece of property is still sitting in the living trust name. I went online and looked at the GIS, and it still has her name, trust.
Mm-hmm.
As the owner. So what do we have to do to get it out of that? So we want to sell it.
Well, does somebody have a copy of the trust?
Yeah, the brother does, yeah.
Okay. Well, the first successor trustee named in the document needs the document and a death certificate, and then an attorney can prepare a deed coming out of the trust.
And does the attorney need to be in a Florida attorney? Or
if it's Florida real estate, yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So the attorney needs to do that, okay. And then we go down to the courthouse and
well, the attorney
file
should
that
do that. I mean, we
well,
do this probably.
The attorney does that. Okay.
Yeah, we do this. We just send it in.
Okay.
There's an affidavit that has to be done that concerning the powers of the trustee and so forth. So the attorney prepares the affidavit and the deed. Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be a real big matter. I mean, we might charge $250 or so to get it out of the trust to wherever it's supposed to go.
Right. Okay. So my first order of business then is needing to get a Florida attorney to, does it need to be, it could be anybody in Florida. It could be you or somebody else.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we do it all the time. If I'm licensed in the state of Florida, so it doesn't matter where the property is located.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Marty. Thanks. Let's go to Sandy in Sarasota.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. My
question is, should life insurance policy be in the trust? And should savings account be in the trust?
Are any of your beneficiaries minors or
special
disabilities or spendthrifts or have addictions?
No.
So all of your beneficiaries in your trust get an outright distribution?
Yes.
Well, life insurance can be a direct beneficiary. Having to come into the trust without a reason, like one of the ones I mentioned, would just be an extra step that's not necessary. So the answer, I think, to your question is life insurance does not have to come into the trust.
Okay, and thank you. What about savings accounts?
Savings accounts should go into the trust, in my opinion, because they could have a beneficiary, but it'd be better to have them in the trust that could be used for your benefit if you became incapacitated.
Okay, same with checking accounts.
Yes, and brokerage accounts and real estate.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Let's go to Tom in Haines City.
Good morning.
Hey, Tom.
When a living trust is created and the person that created the trust dies, what has to be done with the living trust? Does it have to be filed in the courthouse or probate, or is it just follow what's in the trust?
Well, the beautiful thing about a living trust when a person passes away is that the trust is still living.
Okay, so what happens
then? And then the successor trustee that you have named in the document now comes in and takes over and follows the instructions that you've laid out in the trust document, which would actually be the same instructions that you would have laid out in a will.
Okay.
So basically, they pay the bills, do the taxes, take care of all creditors, tidy up your estate, and then eventually make the distribution as you've laid out in the trust document.
Okay, and what does your firm charge for that, for a married couple?
To create the trust?
Yes.
We have a flat fee that's on our website. Our website is attypip.com, but to answer your question, it's $7.95 for a married couple. We do have offices in Haines City.
Right, I know where they're at.
You know where, okay.
Right.
So, and that includes the trust, two wills, pour over wills they're called, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, deeding your residence to the trust, all that's included in the fee.
Okay, when you list property, one more question. When you list what property goes in the trust, can you just, like, put down all items located at and then put the address down?
Properties, you do a quick, if it's real estate, you do a quick claim deed.
Mm-hmm.
From you to you as trustee of your trust.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you much.
All right. All right, Tom. Looking forward to seeing you.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Sam in Riverview. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm just doing great.
Your show today.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
It.
Thank you.
So I had a employer or a prospective employer reach out, and it's sort of in a startup mode. And they're asking for... that I can join with equity, and I was wondering if I should consult with a lawyer. How do I make sure that equity doesn't lose value if other investors come in? What's your opinion? Your thoughts?
Well, you definitely need an attorney. So that is the incorporation where you're going to get shares of ownership of the company.
They said shares of ownership of the company.
What percentage of the shares are you going to wind up with?
They're units, so I don't know much, but
you're going to need an attorney to look at the documents. You're going to need an accountant to look at the numbers and make sure they make sense. You're going to see what protections you have about can you sell your shares if you want to anyone, or are they restricted back to the company, or is there an agreed upon price coming back to the company? And there are lots of things to really look at in this deal.
Okay. They said you have the option of buying again too, anytime.
What about selling? Do they buy back?
Yeah.
And does has the company been around? Does it have a profit and loss sheet that she can show you?
No, they're in funding period, so they're building a product. They're going live in the market sometime in January. Again, this is just a prospective employer.
Yeah, but it's no success rate already that you can look at.
Right, correct. That's correct.
No. So it's a gamble, you could say, basically.
Right.
Well,
it's part of the compensation, and that's all.
Are you going to have an employment contract?
Yes. I'll be full-time, annual salary, but they say, I guess to attract talent, they add this option of allowing or giving out shares or units, they call it, and then options to buy more.
Well,
and then they say the value goes up when we go live, and I'm just wondering, is an attorney necessary?
Let me ask you this. What's the term of your employment contract going to be?
It's permanent, salaried, normal, permanent salary job.
Well, yeah. Permanent is kind of vague.
Okay, I mean, you're a W-2, you know, it has benefits.
I mean, are you guaranteed a job for 5 years?
No. I think it's still the right to work option for, yeah.
Oh, so they can terminate you at any time?
True. That's true, yes.
Well, I'd definitely have an attorney go through and make a little checklist of all the things you should be concerned about. That would be one.
Okay.
If you're not guaranteed a job, I mean, first of all, you'd have to have great faith in the company's going to do well.
Right.
You would have to think that you can gamble, you know, I'm going to make up two numbers. You could have to think that you can gamble 10 or 20% of what your earnings will be, you know, I would think. And you're willing to make that gamble, and you know you got a job, and if you had a job, I'd want at least a 5-year guarantee that you're going to be employed 5, and then I wouldn't put more than 10 or 20% of what your earnings would be into the company. I mean, there are a lot of little things, and every attorney would probably have different numbers in their head about talking about this. But you definitely want all this reviewed by an attorney.
Okay, yeah, they don't require you to buy. They award you with stock or units every year, and that's why I was asking.
Well, it depends on whether you want to gamble being on the grand, on the first floor of a possible great success or a big flop. I mean, you know, I wouldn't.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hope that helped.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Gotcha.
Let's go to Marty in Jacksonville.
Hey, good morning.
Marty, we have about a minute.
Okay. The question is, I have an attorney that's dealing with my wife's father's estate. She's the executrix, and the attorney is just not responding. They've had the attorney employed since November. Nothing is getting taken care of. There's no response back, and they've had all the materials. We finally got all the paperwork back from the attorney. We don't know what our recourse is. We paid $700 so far, and nothing has happened. We have nothing from the attorney all this time. Here it is in September, nearly.
So the attorney's been terminated?
No, we haven't terminated him yet. We didn't know which way to go and what to do. So, got any advice?
Well, okay. So you call, you don't get a response. You call, sure. And does he have a staff member that answers the phone?
No, not really. We have a part-time person. The person's really not an estate attorney. They work with children's type of law, and that was our first mistake. Our first attorney died right in the middle of the process.
Yeah.
So we walked down the street to another one that says estate attorney.
Yeah.
They said, "Here, let this person take care of it in our office."
What I would do is to call the attorney one more time. Can you leave a message for him to call you?
Yeah.
Tell him unless they call you back, you know, the same day or at least by the next day, you want to terminate the arrangement, and you're going to find another attorney. I mean, it's ridiculous to not to have an attorney return your calls after many efforts.
Is there any way to get some or all of that $700 back? And you like
well,
to call?
Yeah. Yourself? Well, the new attorney you hire can probably demand to get that back.
Okay. Very good. Well, I appreciate that. We'll work on that Monday.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're on every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And we thank you for listening. If you have questions yourself or have neighbors or friends that have questions, have them call the show. And if you can't wait that long, you can call the toll-free office number 1-800-226-3529. You have a great weekend.